Okay, welcome to our Romans Bible study. We're going verse by verse. We're in chapter 15. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 15. While you're turning there, last week we went through verses 8 through 16, and we talked about the fact that God had used a different method to reach the Gentiles. He had initially promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 12 with Abram that he was going to bless all the families of the earth through Abram. And then as he progressively revealed how that was going to work, we saw the promises that that was going to take place through the rise of the nation of Israel. And we saw in Isaiah chapter 60 where it specifically talks about the fact that it was going to take place through Israel's rise. Well, as we all know, Israel rejected their Messiah. Both before and after he was crucified, they were given another year. They were given more time. So as Christ on the cross prayed, forgive them, the plan was to still allow the offer of the kingdom to be made. We saw that that's what took place in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3. And then when you get to Acts chapter 7 with the stoning of Stephen, at that point, the nation had completely rejected their Messiah. So God raised up an apostle, by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And so originally the plan was to reach the Gentiles through the blessing of the nation of Israel. And we looked at Matthew and other passages where Christ came to fulfill those promises made under the fathers. Well, within that promise was the promise to Abram, to those of Israel, that they would be the blessing to all the world, that they would be the light of the Gentiles. Well, with Israel rejecting their Messiah, where would that leave the Gentiles? That would leave the Gentiles with no hope, and that's what it talks about in Ephesians. And so what we looked at last week when it comes to verses 8 through 16 is that God reached the Gentiles. Even though he had prophesied he was going to reach the Gentiles and promised he was going to reach the Gentiles, he did it in a way that wasn't prophesied, that wasn't promised. And that is, instead of through the rising of the nation of Israel, he did so despite the nation of Israel. Not in spite of, but despite the nation of Israel. And so God set the nation of Israel aside. And the mystery that Paul talks about, Ephesians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 1, and other places. The mystery is God reaching the Gentiles through the fall of the nation of Israel, which Romans 11 details for us. And so that's what we talked about last week, and was basically this, the means in which God went to in order to fulfill his mercy being extended to the Gentiles. And because of that, Paul tells them in verse 13 that they should be filled with all joy and peace in believing. And so, in a nutshell, Christ came to minister to the nation of Israel, but now, two very important words in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, but now Christ set Israel aside, and now Paul is his minister to the Gentiles. And so as far as a theme or a title for this Bible study, it would be Paul, the minister and apostle to the Gentiles. And so that's what we're talking about here in this study, is that Paul is that but now aspect, that ministry that was not prophesied before, but now is God's way, or way is his method of reaching the Gentiles. So I'll assume you're in Romans chapter 15 at this point, and let's go ahead and read verses 15 through 24 for our context in this study. Romans 15, 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ wrought not through me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, as they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So those are the verses we're going to look at here in this Bible study. And so again, remembering that Paul has just been talking about the fact that Christ had been a minister to the circumcision, but he is now that minister to the Gentiles. And so in other words, you have to have in mind the understanding of the context here is as Paul's describing, or he's certainly elaborating on the fact that there's been a change. There was the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth, but there is that ministry in which Christ gave to the Apostle Paul, Christ who is risen and glorified in heaven. That's that but now ministry that Paul has at this point. And so that's what the context is. And so that's why we backed up to verse 15 here so that we can understand it. So look at verses 15. It says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. And you notice Paul's tone here. He's basically in a very eloquent way saying, guys, I'm being rather bold in my pointing out to you because there's this grace that was given to me of God. And this grace that was given to Paul is certainly, you know, includes the salvation grace, but there's more than that. He's talking about his ministry here. He's talking about it's a relation to him being a minister of Christ. In other words, that new way of reaching Gentiles, which brought salvation to his listeners, that new way that brought salvation to his listeners is also what gave him his ministry. And in that, it gave him grace. It gave him authority. It obviously, when we say authority, we're talking about what comes along with the fact that he's the apostle of the Gentiles. And so the grace that he's talking about here, Paul alludes to this many times throughout his writings. And turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So Paul could say experientially in the fact that don't think too high of yourself. I'm telling you not to do so, but also the grace in the sense of his apostleship. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. So it doesn't say, by the grace of God, I'm saved. I mean, it's certainly that extent. But Paul's expressing more than that in these places. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Who's he talking about? Specifically, he's talking about the other apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And then you can tell the context from verse 11. He says, therefore, whether it I or they, so we preach, so you believe. And so he's certainly talking about this grace which was given to him in the sense of his ministry. That's what he's talking about. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. I'd love to read this whole passage, Ephesians 3, 1 through 9, but time restricts us to in some degree. But Ephesians 3, 8 says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." What grace is that? "That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ." And so Paul is acknowledging that this grace, talking about the ministry, talking about the fact that not only is he saved, but he's giving this ministry, this dispensation of the grace of God, that he is to be an apostle, that he is to be the one who has this ministry. And that's what Paul is talking about here, as he's talking about in Romans chapter 15. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with fresh flesh and blood." And so again, understanding that when Paul talks about this grace in Romans 15, he's trying to point out the fact of the grace of his ministry. And with that, again, comes the authority of his apostleship. And Paul sometimes gets a rap as though that he's got a big head, that somehow he thinks too highly of himself. And if anybody truly reads his scriptures with any desire to pay attention to the heart and the message and meaning behind his words, it's pretty obvious that that's not the case with the Apostle Paul. Paul truly understand the mercy and the grace that he was given. He understood that he was standing opposed to the one true Messiah, the one true Savior of the world. He understood that he was standing opposed to that, and that it was by the grace of God that he was not only saved, but that he was put into the ministry, that he was entrusted with that. And so Paul understood that this authority was not something that he relished in boasting about. So when he boasts about it, he, as we read a few minutes ago, he feels ashamed somewhat to do so. He feels bashful about doing so. But nevertheless, authority is something he most certainly did have. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 7. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, "But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter," what he's talking about here is what I believe is that meeting that took place in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council, when Paul has to go back to share with them the gospel in which he preached, and how he had to basically stand up for the truth of the gospel message that was given to him by the risen Lord. And keep in mind, you have to remember this. We seem to think that whenever God gave revelation to the Apostle Paul, that he somehow sent a telegram or a Pony Express to the 12 apostles and said, "Hey, by the way, this is what I'm doing over here, gentlemen." And that's not the way it worked. Paul was given his message, and the way that the 12 knew that Paul was legitimately an apostle was they had to, by faith and by witness of the testimony of his life, but also Paul doing the signs of the apostles, which we'll talk about shortly. But God didn't come and say, "Hey, just so you know, this is what's going on." And so Paul had to go back, we saw in Acts chapter 15, and share with the 12 what his ministry was about. Him and Barnabas went back, and Titus went as well. And so that's what he's talking about here in Galatians chapter 2. But when contrariwise, when they, talking about those who seem to be somewhat be pillars, those 12, when they saw the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, notice this, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Well, how was it given unto Peter? Peter was the chief amongst the 12. But even if you don't even want to look at the aspect that he was chief amongst the 12, the fact of the matter is the 12 had authority. They had special authority given to them by the apostle, I'm sorry, by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a little bit of a bunny trail here, but so many people are confused when it comes to the Great Commission. They think, one, that the Great Commission is in effect for today when it's not, and also, even many people misunderstand and think the Great Commission was given to everybody, all believers, at that time, when in fact it was just given to the 12. The so-called Great Commission didn't go to all the believers of the little flock. It went to the 12, because with that, if you go to Mark chapter 16 and other parts of the Gospels, you find that there was authority invested in an apostleship. It's a sent one. And so that's what he's talking about here. As it was given to Peter, so is it also given to me, verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. How unfortunate that the vast majority of Christians today do not understand the unique apostleship of the Apostle Paul. They think that he was just one of the other apostles. They think that he was subordinate to Peter, when in fact, it's quite the contrary. Peter and the 12 had their ministry to Israel. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so, so much is cleared up when we understand that, and we apply that in our understanding for today. And so, this is what he's talking about here, is this authority that he has, this apostleship. Look at Romans 11, verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. It's one of the verses that people that make the mistake of thinking that Paul is a bit arrogant. And again, it's quite the opposite. It's Paul that doesn't like to say these things. But just like today, where people are misallocating or misunderstanding who their apostle is, it was happening in Paul's day, and they were diminishing Paul instead of understanding his authority. And so he has to say things like this in order to get people to understand. Romans 11, 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, it's always important, I say this quite often, who inspired these words? Well, these are inspired by the Holy Spirit. God himself inspired Paul to write that down. And some people quarrel today as though that Paul was some sort of arrogant person. Well, the fact of the matter is God is telling us in the dispensation of the grace of God who our apostle is. And that's the Apostle Paul. He's the one that has the authority in the sense of his writings are for us today. Or I should say to us. The whole Bible's for us. Let me make sure I say that clearly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? There you go. Let's just know that he saw Christ. He didn't just have dreams and visions. He wasn't doing what people claim to do today, and they think that the Lord spoke to them, and that there's some sort of a, you know, uncertainty that's involved. No, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him in bodily form, not once, but many times. Are not ye my work in the Lord? And this goes back to the idea that he's the one that laid the foundation. He's the one that laid the foundation for the dispensation of the grace of God. The Bible's very clear about this. In fact, what we can say is that Paul was, the scripture is very clear, Paul was appointed to a specific office. Again, I think a lot of people today, and sometimes it makes me laugh, sometimes it makes me a little bit angry, but sometimes it's, or I should say all the time, it strikes me as wrong and arrogant by those who would today call themselves an apostle. Paul was not appointed an apostle by men. He was ordained an apostle by God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. When we think of the appropriateness of ordination, not only does Paul talk to Timothy about ordaining elders, Paul himself was ordained. Look at 1 Timothy 1, starting verse 11. 1 Timothy 1:11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he had counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This is that grace that we talked about earlier. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. What cause is that, Paul? That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. So let's let that sink in. We know that right now that God is all longsuffering. And we know that we have everlasting life by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. But we also know from this verse that Paul's salvation was done, as he says, for this cause. I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the everlasting life. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. How was Paul made an apostle? How was Paul ordained? Galatians 1, 1. Paul, an apostle. And so that nobody thinks it was in any other means, he says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. There's a misconception out there or an idea that Paul was ordained in Acts chapter 13. So you know, when we talk about being mid-Acts dispensationalists, there are those that would call themselves Acts 9, to which I call myself. Those who call themselves Acts 13 and even different flavors. Some might say it began in Acts chapter 9, but Acts 13 is when Paul actually was ordained. And I would disagree with that. I think that Paul was ordained the moment he was given his ministry. He was set aside. He was sent immediately, because that's what somebody who is an apostle is. That's somebody who is sent. Somebody who is ordained is somebody that's been put into this ministry, is what it's been done. And it says here that it was done not by men, like you might see in Acts chapter 13 at Antioch, but it was done by God. When would that have taken place? Well, turn me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Paul recounts Paul's salvation experience. Look at Acts 26, verse 17. Paul is recounting it, and he says, delivering thee, talking about Paul, from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. This is Jesus. This is talking about what happened. It's filling in some of the details that we didn't get in Acts chapter 9. And so it says, unto now I send thee. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. His ministry was assigned to him in Acts chapter 9. He was not given it in Acts chapter 13. He wasn't ordained in Acts chapter 13. He wasn't given his apostleship in Acts chapter 13. To my understanding, it came in Acts chapter 9. And that's what it's talking about here, verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so again, Paul is, as we're looking at this grace that Paul is talking about in Romans 15, this ministry that he has, with this office. It's exceptionally arrogant for people today to call themselves an apostle. There are simply no apostles today. Are there ministers? Of course, we're ministers. We can follow Paul into the ministry in that sense, but Paul was somebody that could accomplish things that we couldn't accomplish because of the power in which he was given power and authority. Go back to Romans 15 and we'll see what I'm talking about here. Romans 15. Well, let's just read verses 16 and 17, and then we'll study verse 18. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have, therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Notice what he's talking about. For I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so, in other words, Paul here in verse 18 is saying that he's going to speak only of what God has done through him. He's not going to look to justify his ministry, because that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about his ministry. He's not going to look to justify his ministry, his message, through what God has done or said through other people. He's doing it through what God has done through him and said to him. Notice verse 17, I have thereof, wherefore I may glory. That's what Paul's talking about. He's got justification to glory in the ministry that he has. In other words, not because he has, you know, accomplished something great, but because he's been given something great. And that's why he talks on here that it came through him, through the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he's talking about, that he's not going to speak of those things which Christ didn't bring through him. But notice what he says here, to make Gentiles obedient. The second part of verse 8. To make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. The word and deed he's talking about is his words and deeds. He's talking about his ministry given to him, and by his words and deeds, those being used to make the Gentiles obedient. And so hopefully we become followers of Paul and we're obedient in word and deed. But what he's talking about is his words, his deeds. And by word, he's talking obviously about his preaching. He's talking about, obviously, the things that he's writing. And, you know, we know them to be scripture. And so that's what he's talking about in word. Indeed, he's talking about his example. You know, there's only one person in scripture, and I just think this is an enormous thing to consider. Other than Christ himself, the only person in scripture that says, be a follower of me, or you can paraphrase it, but to be a follower of me, the only person that says that is the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is beckoning us to be followers of him. And that's why he's talking about, it's that his ministry, the things that the cross wrought by him to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, by his words, his deed, his examples. Paul is somebody, one of my mom's old sayings, I grew up in a non-Christian home. My mom still had some wisdom from her father, who was a Christian, and my mom later became a Christian after, as an adult, praise God. But she used to have some pretty wise things to say. One of the things she always told me was, Donnie, practice what you preach. And the Apostle Paul was certainly a preacher that practiced what he preached. And there's so many places that you can look at that. But the fact is that he tells us, look, this is what I'm doing, and this is what you need to do as well. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians 3, 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, Now, this next part ought to get your attention as well. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example and sample. In other words, that, you know, we don't just mark and avoid those who have sound or unsound doctrine. We need to mark those who are living the doctrine, living the sound doctrine. We need to mark them and be, let them be somebody that we follow. So many times I see Christians following people that they have no business following. And you know, here's a point that Paul is making. Mark me in my deeds, my actions. Mark other ones who are doing it the right way, and mark us as an example. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Back to Romans. Talks about in verse 19 his signs and wonders. And this again is what I was talking about when it comes to the outlandish, and unfortunate statements by some to call themselves apostles. As an apostle, you have to be able to do the signs of an apostle. And signs of an apostle are what these signs and wonders are. Paul healed people. He raised people from the dead. People would take handkerchiefs and send them to people, and he would be healed. He's been bitten by snakes and all different kinds of things. I have no desire to try to prove myself as an apostle. I'm fine being a pastor or simply a minister of Christ. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Here's your cross reference for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And he's talking about himself, the things that he did. But Paul acknowledges that these aren't through his power, but they're from the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says back in Romans 15, 19. He says, through many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So he's acknowledging that this wasn't through his own power, it's through the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. Now, this becomes important because of other things that are going on in these verses. This distance, Jerusalem to Illyricum, if you were to look at it on a map as the crow flies, it's around 1,000 miles. And so that's a pretty good distance. And this is the area in which Paul had been ministering to, and he's writing to the people in Rome who he's not yet seen, and he's getting ready to tell them that he plans to come see them soon because he believes that basically he has gone over the area pretty well. And so this is why this comes about. He's done this throughout all of this area from Jerusalem round about Illyricum. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Verse 20, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. And so this is simply talking about the idea that he's got an ambition and a desire to go preach the gospel where it's needed the most, where it's not been preached. We see this whenever I was a board member on TCM, Things to Come Mission. That was certainly the desire of Things to Come Mission, is if there was already an active ministry and there was already a strong population of the gospel that's being preached, hey, let's go somewhere else. And this is how the Apostle Paul views it. Some have called it a pioneer missionary style, the idea of going where it's not being taught. And so that was the Apostle Paul's plan and purpose. It was his ambition, where it says he strived. That's what this word strived means. It means ambition. And so the first thing that ought to come to our mind, the first question that ought to come to our mind when we read this is, well, what's our ambition? Is our ambition the same thing? Is our ambition, just like we just got done reading, that we are to be followers of the Apostle Paul, to mark how he's doing it and how others are doing it, is that how we're doing it as well? Is understanding that it's good for us to go to places in which it's not already being preached. And that's why when it comes to missionary dollars, I think that it's always important for churches and individuals to consider if they've got very limited funds on how to allocate their missionary dollars, might consider doing it in places that have the least amount of activity in the sense of you know, for example, in the Philippines, there's a lot of believers in the Philippines. It doesn't mean that you can't still have missionaries there, but places like Myanmar and other places that desperately need more people and more support, it's the same kind of idea, going where it's needed most with what's needed. Paul sought to preach that message of Christ's grace where it was not already being preached. That was his main purpose and goal. Verse 21, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. And people get confused by this verse, and those who want to try to throw straw man arguments against rightly dividing the grace message, min-ex dispensationalism, might use this and say, see, but as it is written, Paul's ministry isn't a mystery in the sense, he's not saying that it's all a mystery. The problem with that statement is pay attention to what not only is what is written there, but what is not written there. If you go to the Gospels and you see the things like what Christ would say, or even when we would see how the writers of the Gospels would, you know, because they're writing it after the fact, they would say things like that so that it might be fulfilled. You know, there's that statement that's said a lot in the Gospels. Paul never uses that statement. What he's doing here is what he often does. Paul's ministry was a secret hidden God. That's plain as day. It says it specifically. You really have to try to jump hurdles to try to discredit that aspect. But Paul's ministry didn't go against prophecy. It didn't go against the character of God. It was in agreement with. It wasn't the fulfillment of prophecy, but it is in agreement with. In other words, for example, the gospel of the grace of God, which is going to the Gentiles today, is in agreement with God's desire to bring blessings to the whole world, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. But it's not the fulfillment of it, meaning God sought a different way, like we've been talking about. The prophecies as it related to all through the Old Testament prophecies and Isaiah and so many other places, it was the direct prophecies that God was going to bless the Gentiles through the rise of the nation of Israel, like we talked about. Paul's mystery is not in disagreement. In other words, God never said that I will never do this. He just didn't say that he would do it. And so that's what it's talking about here. It's not that it's suggesting that Paul's ministry is the fulfillment of prophecy. It's just that it agrees with it. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 22. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. And so basically, when I said before, we're in verse 19, where it says he's fully preached the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum, and Paul plans to go to Rome. He plans to go to Rome because he fully believes that he's covered the area around there. He's been preaching and teaching for many years now, and he believes that the area is now, he's saturated the area enough where maybe he's not spoken to every single person, gone to every single village, but he's covered the areas well enough that now he's established places that they can pick up, and now he can move on. And he can move on and go to other places. He wants to go to Rome, and as you see in verse 24 here, he wants to go into Spain. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. And so Paul's determined that this area has been covered, and I'm going to go to Rome, I'm going to go to Spain. That's his plans. It's pretty interesting to see. You get a peek into Paul's mindset here is what you get. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. This is Paul and Ephesus. Acts chapter 19. And let's read verse 8, beginning of verse 8. So here, this is describing when Paul is in Ephesus. Ephesus is in Asia Minor. It says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. In other words, he went into the synagogues. They basically spoke evil. They rejected. So he moved on from the synagogue and he went to the school of Tyrannus. In verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So this is when he's in Ephesus. And Paul, in writing in the book of Romans, he's accomplished this aspect. This is what's been accomplished. And so he's set his mind to the idea of going to Rome, going to Spain, continuing on, going on, pressing forward for that towards that high calling, for the mark of the prize in which he understands is his responsibility. And that's what he's talking about he's doing. Paul was always seeking to minister where the word was not already being ministered. Now, he's going to Rome, essentially, in this idea, because so that they can further him on to Spain. And so Rome is a place that obviously he's not been to. There's a church there that's established by it. I think that it's pretty well easily understood to be those who are followers of him. And so he intends to go there to build them up, but then so that they can help move him on along to Spain. And so when we think of Romans chapter 15, as we progress on through this here, what we see again is Paul has established himself that he is the minister to the Gentiles. He's the apostle for today. When we want to think about what the scripture, all of the scripture, Romans 15, 4, the things were written down aforetime were written for our learning so that we can learn from the whole scripture. But if you want to know what it is that's written to you, to the body of Christ, our apostle is the apostle Paul. And that's what he's trying to make understood here. And he'll point that out even further as time goes on, especially at the end of chapter 16. So we'll continue on next week as we continue on through the book of Romans.